All eyes might be on Donald Trump Inauguration Day, but in reality, transition involves thousands and thousands of people. As in a business merger or acquisition, the hard work comes after the fact. In fact, my next guest says both career civil servants and politically appointed transition teams can both benefit from lessons learned in mergers and acquisitions. Greg Pellegrino is customer strategy expert and principal at Deloitte Consulting, and he joins me now in studio with more. Greg, good to have you in.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be with you.
So that's an unusual concept, the idea of transition and mergers and acquisitions having something in common. We've heard every other angle on transition, but not that one. How does it work?
Well, think about the size of this. It's unprecedented. There's nothing like the transition of the federal government after an election. And this is a big transition, switching parties, a new perspective, a business perspective, frankly, that hasn't been seen before in Washington. And when we looked at it from the standpoint of corporate mergers and acquisitions, this would be like switching out the executive leadership of 50 of the Fortune 100 companies all at once. Something like that has never been done before.
So aside from scope and numbers of people involved, how do the two processes, what do they have in common, mergers and acquisitions and transition?
The things that they have in common are that you have new leadership coming in, the acquirer, if you will. You have the 7,000 SES executives that are running the government today who are being acquired, if you will. And together, those new leaders are going to have responsibility for governing and executing the priorities of the next administration.
I guess maybe the one difference is that as the acquirer, you're kind of stuck with what you inherit because you can't make wholesale changes in that executive leadership layer that's career.
There will be 4,000 new presidential appointees coming in. And one thing that's been a hallmark so far that we've seen is that the nominees for key cabinet positions have asked to have greater control over who they put in key leadership positions for that next level of leadership within the agencies.
Let's project ahead to when the new transition people that become the political appointees are in place, and then you've got them and the career people. You've outlined a lot of lessons learned that could be applied, that they could apply, that have been derived from mergers and acquisitions. What are the top lessons?
Corporate mergers have been studied for more than a century, and the focus on the strategy, the culture, and the process for transitioning are the three key elements that business scholars have noted defining success in a corporate acquisition. When we look at the lessons learned, the first thing that we see is beginning with the end in mind. Beginning with the end in mind means that the new administration's priorities are at the forefront of the development of relationships between the new appointees and the career executives that are leading the agency today.
I mean, that's probably very true of the Obama administration. When it came in, whatever else you can say about it, you could probably say that it knew what it wanted to get done and had a vision in mind for a lot of regulation and the way government agencies would operate and the policies it wanted to initiate.
And they also had the Bush administration's commitment to having a smooth, orderly, professional transition.
And you've also said assess yourself from the outside in. What does that mean?
Well, we are all in a bubble here in Washington, and having an outside-in perspective and looking at the agency's priorities, the capabilities of the executive leadership as well as the professionals working within the agency, and thinking about it from a citizen's perspective. What does it look like to someone sitting in rural America, for example? That perspective is one that I think seldom occurs in a day-to-day environment, but this is a moment where having an outside perspective and even bringing, frankly, a business perspective to what the agencies are doing is going to be important.
We're speaking with Greg Pellegrino, customer strategy expert and principal at Deloitte Consulting. And another one of the lessons I found intriguing was control the integration. Dedicate a full-time transition leader and integration process owners with clear authority and accountability and so forth. That seems deep in the weed in process, but it sounds like something that's really important.
We've heard repeatedly over the last 6 or 7 months that the length of time for integration to occur and trust to form between the incoming political appointees and the career executives can take as long as a year. we think there's an opportunity by applying that type of perspective and thinking of this as a process, which you would do in a corporate merger, as a way to shorten that length of time in order to get things done more quickly. And I think the process word is a key word in all of this, because this is something that requires discipline. It requires a tempo. For example, in a corporate merger, the executive leadership team is likely going to be either on the phone or in a room every day for at least 30 to 60 minutes going through the list of items that are critical to making sure that the integration is a success. We think that type of tempo ought to be applied here to forge those executive relationships much more quickly.
And I guess to the extent that you do start with the end in mind, you'll have better success on that integration strategy and approach.
That's right. The difference in terms of the leadership, when you have historically 50% of the political appointees coming in without any federal government experience at all, and the deep expertise and experience of the sitting career executives, imagine the incoming come in very optimistic. They think they can get things done quickly. Clearly, they have access to tremendous resources in the federal budget, but they immediately face the difficulty of getting acquisitions done and complying with key rules that the agencies are subject to. And the career executives, they know all of this. If they can share what they know more quickly and, again, develop that sense of trust between the incoming and the sitting executives, things will happen much more quickly.
So before you drain the swamp, know what's in the water. You might want some of it.
That's right. It's a good perspective to have, perhaps.
All right. And then I think one of the lessons that will appeal to those people that are career, stabilize the workforce and retain critical talent. I think that relates to what we were just talking about, is you're going to need those people that might have worked for the team before you.
This transition's very unique in the moment in time that we're in, where we're going to see a wholesale shift of the generations from the baby boomers that have led the federal government for a couple of decades to a new generation. 85% of the sitting career executives in government today are eligible for retirement, and those retirements will happen during this administration. The handover to the younger generations and the ideas like, for example, being digitally enabled and growing up with the internet, those are things that'll be transformative in how the government's run.
And what about this idea of coordinating complexity without disruption? Because federal policies are complicated, and the way they get done often carry a lot of apparatus that the career people may understand more than the people coming in. So if you're going to change that, you're going to produce complexity.
There will always be tremendous complexity in a $4 trillion organization. I've led corporate mergers with the key principle in mind: don't break things that are working. And I think that's a good principle to think about this integration. There are many good things that are happening, many very talented, committed professionals in these agencies. And getting the best out of them the quickest is going to be a key hallmark of a successful transition.
I guess it would be important for the incoming team to understand that the same apparatus that delivers a policy that you might want to change can nevertheless be used to deliver the policy you want.
That's right. We've heard, for example, that in past transitions, teams that have had successful programs have needed to redefine the way that the program is described, perhaps elements of the program, in order to match up with the next administration's communications and policies and the word choices that they use. These are subtle differences in many of the things that are working that people need to be open to. And then you've got the major changes, the major campaign promises and policy positions of the incoming administration. And the career leadership will need to work with the incoming leaders to be able to put those things in place.
So it sounds like clarity and trust on both sides are really the main ingredients to have this all work out.
As long as clarity and trust isn't present, it'll just simply take longer. And I don't think that this new administration is going to put up with that for very long.
Greg Pellegrino is customer strategy expert and principal at Deloitte Consulting. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll have a link to the study on mergers and acquisitions and transition and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.